Hello, and welcome to The Happiest of Hours, presented by Mox & Cox. This podcast is part of our journey to share experiences in the world where drinkers, alcohol-free folks, and the sober curious can coexist. We started our mission to create a space where everyone gets to have the same experience, regardless of what's in their glass, to show people it's okay to go out into the world, to the same events, and have the same great time.
We know how that looks different for everyone. Everyone is different. We just want to stop making it weird.
I'm Katie.
I'm Bridget.
And we're Mox & Cox. Good morning, Bridget.
Good morning, Katie.
It's the morning. Welcome to the happiest of hours.
Presented by Mox & Cox.
We are Mox & Cox. I'm Katie. I'm the mocktail of this crew.
I'm Bridget. I'm the cocktail of this crew.
Which simply means that I don't drink anymore. Bridget does still drink. We're trying to make the drinking, non-drinking world normal and not weird.
Absolutely.
That's it.
I mean, that's it. We get to have the same exact experiences, regardless of what's in our glass.
Sometimes the same exact.
Sometimes the same exact thing.
Sometimes not.
I mean, we start off our show almost exclusively drinking the same thing.
Well, that's true. I don't mean on the show.
No,
sometimes our experiences are not the same, and nor they should be.
No, but that's the point.
Like the every city dude.
Just like that guy.
Yeah. So, welcome to Happiest of Hours today. We're excited to have you. We might have some new listeners on here, which is amazing.
Yeah, we've been getting a lot of good feedback lately, and we're so excited that you're all here.
Yeah. We start off most of our Happiest of Hours with a happy hour drink, and today is no exception. Today we are doing a mocktail. Well, every day we do a mocktail, mm-hmm. I guess.
Well, the reason
it'd be frowned upon if we were drinking in the morning.
Just getting shit-faced all day long.
I mean, it would definitely be frowned upon if I was doing that.
It would be super frowned upon if you were doing that. If I was doing it, they'd be like, have you thought about... Only by me, though. That's true. I mean, because everybody's drinking is nobody's business.
That's right.
But the reason that we do it on the show is so that we taste things and buy the things so that you all don't have to.
Right.
We want to make sure that your hard-earned cash goes towards something that's worthwhile.
Right.
We taste so much crap.
Not as much crap as we do good things. I would say it's not even. We've tasted like fourth shitty things. They were real shitty. But we have the majority of stuff that we've tried has been good.
Okay.
You do not believe me? I could name the things that we have tried that are shitty, and there's too many to name that have been good.
I would agree.
Oh, your face doesn't say that right now.
I mean, we've had some pretty bad ones, and maybe they outweigh, like when they're so bad, they weigh more.
Okay.
They count for more points.
In any case, we're trying to try them so you don't have to, and then we'll send them out in our boxes.
Yeah.
The good ones.
The good ones. Yeah, because I actually thought about that. And I was like, well, we could just send these other people because some people might like them. And Katie's very opposed to doing that.
No. I mean, sure, you don't have the same taste buds I do.
What I'm curious about is, it's like some of these have been so bad that I don't understand how they got out the door from a business.
Yeah. Like, they just didn't taste them before.
Did you guys not try it?
Yeah. It's sometimes when you see people out and you're like, man, you did not look in the mirror this morning before you left the house.
Or option B, they did.
Anyway, back to our mocktails. We digress.
So we
made a real bitchin' Shirley today.
It is really good.
It's really good. And we just like made it up.
Mm-hmm.
So a friend of ours.
Yeah.
Told Bridget the other day that he was going to make for his friends a mature Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided to call it the Shirley MacLaine.
Which is absolutely fabulous.
So good.
Like so good.
So
I want all elevated Shirleys to be called Shirley MacLaines from now on.
That's what we're calling ours.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
And maybe Shirley MacLaine will be a guest of ours one day.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it would be so good. Shirley MacLaine, if you're listening.
Yeah.
Or anybody knows Shirley
MacLaine. Does anybody know her?
So we are trying the Shirley MacLaine today, but our recipe is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It sounds really weird, but it's super
but it's
good.
Not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So here is the recipe. We're going to put this in our notes too. 2 ounces of Clean Co. R, which is their rum. Mm-hmm. It's a spiced rum. It's sort of like Captain, but it's non-alcoholic.
Yeah.
Then 1 ounce of grenadine or cherry juice. And we topped it with Classico from Liars. It's oddly boozy.
It's oddly boozy. So, Clean Co. has a super impressive...
Oh, on ice.
Yes, and on ice. Yeah, we convinced Katie to not force warm shit down our throat today. Thanks, Katie.
Remember, none dicks here.
As I was saying. We got to taste it on ice, but the rum that goes in there is so incredibly close to the fully leaded kind that you would not know the difference. And folks rarely do even when we used our spiced spirits and Cokes.
Yeah.
So using it in this one.
It just brought out the cherry, I think.
It really did. And we would encourage, we say an ounce of cherry juice, but if you use up to 2, I think that's
going to be okay.
I think, yeah. And I think that probably works as well. Mm-hmm. But the Classico, the rum, the cherry juice, the nicer the cherries, the better. But it's really, really good.
Yeah. It's oddly weird. I would never think to put like a champagne or a Prosecco with rum.
No.
But for some reason, the cherry juice sandwiched between it makes it fine.
It's super interesting. And I'm tempted to try the fully leaded kind to see if it works the same way with a Prosecco.
It'd be interesting. Because I would love to win this one too.
I would love it for
this
you
would be
as
a great
well.
Shake-off.
Maybe it will be.
Yeah, this would be a great shake-off.
We probably have a shake-off coming up.
We do. Anyway, this is called the Shirley MacLaine. We are going to put this into our episode notes so you can get...
our episode's notes and probably our March boxes.
Probably. I think that this needs to be a March box. Liars is a little bit difficult to get because it comes from across the pond. I shouldn't say difficult. It's just... takes a while and it's expensive.
Yeah.
The Clean Co. though, we have a link for, and we have 25% off for them. I think our coupon code might be MC23. I'm sorry, Clean MC23 is our 25% off code. We will put that in our episode notes for you.
For sure.
You should try the rum. The gin from them is amazing. The apple vodka.
So good.
So good.
So annoyingly
we
good.
We drink that straight. It's
we
weird.
Really, we really do. And warm.
And straight and warm.
We are really excited by this one.
We are. It's really good.
We are. It's really, really good. We really like it. And we think that you will too.
And we're going to take these. If you checked out our stories today, we unboxed some of our boxes, which are polka dot and so cute. We're going to sell some of these boxes around. And I think this is going to go in it.
I think, yeah, we're pretty excited about the mini boxes that we get to sell for retail stores where you don't have to necessarily subscribe. And we'll have cocktail mixes in there.
And this is going to be one of them.
Perhaps a nice faux fashioned. Uh-huh. It's possible that our April drink of the month is going to be in one too, mm-hmm. which stay tuned because I am irrationally excited about April's drink of the month.
That one's good too.
Yeah, but let's keep enjoying March drink first.
March drink is fantastic. Shirley MacLaine, we love you.
Yeah, Shirley MacLaine, we love you. Call us.
What else you got for us, Bridget? Bridget's got a list for us today. Doesn't happen very often.
Somebody has to keep us organized. My God.
It is not me.
It's not me, but somebody should.
I will say that I am still flying pretty high from an event we had last night.
You should be. You should be buzzing from the... I mean, Katie has been really putting herself out there in terms of public speaking lately. And
in my
it's
defense,
so fun to watch her light up that way.
Talk about myself?
But enough about
weird.
Me.
Weird. My defense, the universe has put this out for me. I have not put this out for me.
But to be fair, you asked for it.
I did ask for it. And the universe likes to deliver for me. I like to send pictures to Bridget about my parking spots. Because I get the first parking spot almost everywhere I go.
It's actually weird.
I know.
I mean, it looks super weird. I get the Target one. Okay, whatever. Like first spot at Target, regardless of the day, time, whatever. It's the fucking first spot at Costco on a Sunday
at 5:30
that you're just like, how does that happen?
Uh-huh. It's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, it's weird.
Target every single time. Madeline is even like, this is weird, Mom. I'm like, but it's real. I just know what's going to happen and I pull right in. Anyway, so the universe decided to give me some speaking engagements, which is what I asked for this year. And I think next week I'm going to have my fourth one this year. So that's pretty cool. But I had this really amazing networking event for a bunch of young entrepreneurs that I was able to speak at. I was like old enough to be their mom, but it was fun.
Yeah. And they loved it. They loved it.
And we had
all
some
your jokes
really,
landed.
My joke landed. My dressed joke landed.
All of your jokes landed.
Most of my jokes landed.
They all landed.
They did. It
your
was really
was fabulous.
It was fun. It was really inspiring to be around all those women. I felt really empowered and I just really loved it. But the thing I loved the most out of it is I did share my sobriety story a little bit. I just surpassed on the 28th, whenever the 28th was, 18 months, which is pretty cool for me. Say it.
Mox and Cox. Mox and Cox.
It's so good.
Say it.
So 18 months sober, which was awesome. And I was standing in front of all these women that very likely drink or have drank in their lives. And they're young. A lot of them were young, not all of them. But a ton of people came up to me afterwards and was like, thank you so much for saying anything about drinking. Like, I don't drink for this reason. I don't drink or whatever. We're going to get into that a little bit later, but it was a really cool event. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. We got some good mileage for Mox and Cox. And of course, everybody liked Cox.
Totally.
I just found out that Segway is spelled S-E-G-U-E.
That's how the word Segway is spelled.
News to me.
That's not how the thing you want to buy for me to run around on is.
Thought they were the same.
Okay.
Then why didn't Segway spell it Segway?
Because it's a play on, I imagine, for branding. I don't know. Why don't we spell
it? Because idiots like me don't know how to spell it.
Well, I don't think that makes you an idiot. How often have you had to spell Segway?
When we started this podcast, so many times.
We aren't writing our podcast.
Well, that's true. But I read it the other day and I was like, oh, fuck, that's
Segway.
You're
like, ooh, Segu.
Segu. Segu.
So speaking of segues, was that your really smooth attempt to change the conversation after mocktails?
Yeah.
Speaking of segues, we weren't.
Speaking of segues, we read a couple articles this week.
We actually did. Sometimes when I send stuff to Katie, she doesn't read it. And when I say sometimes, I mean almost exclusively
all the
refuses to read what I send.
And very often I post things without reading them.
she does. But my favorite is
For instance, the song.
Yeah.
Joe.
Yeah.
By Luke Combs.
Yeah. His new song, which is great. It's a great song. And I actually said that to her earlier today. And I said, this is an amazing song. And she said I didn't listen to it. I was like, but you posted it.
I did. And actually, I went and found the song and posted it in the song or in the stories, but I haven't listened to the song yet. I'm sure it's really good, but the whole idea behind it is really fucking awesome.
It is. It's about, I mean, because country music in general is a lot of
stuff. Should we read it? I feel like we should read that.
What?
His post.
Oh, sure.
So this is what I shared. New song Joe available everywhere now. There have been some folks in my family that have struggled with alcoholism and addiction through the years. I've got buddies who live a sober lifestyle, and I'm sure you all know someone who has struggled with these types of things, or maybe you yourself do. This song, Joe, is really important to me for that reason. Our genre has so many songs about drinking and partying. Hell, I'm probably one of the worst culprits of it. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But sometimes I wonder what someone in the crowd who doesn't drink or struggles with addiction is thinking or feeling when there's thousands of people around them screaming, beer never broke my heart, or one too many. I've always wanted a song for those people to have for themselves, to have a song that they can sing at the top of their lungs and feel like they're not forgotten. When Eric Dillon sent me the work tape of this a few years back, I knew I wanted to be a part of it. So if you're reading this and this song speaks to you, I hope you love it. This one's for you. Ugh, I have goosebumps.
It's hundreds of comments on this. It's such a great song.
I love country music, and it's not lost that every other song is about alcohol.
I think it's amazing that people are going to have a song to belt out at concerts.
Yeah, one against 1,000 is cool.
There's that ratio.
But it's better than zero.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's really cool. It's huge for people to be able to be seen, and perhaps that will become bigger.
Yeah.
There is.
Or not. I mean, I don't think it's that bad, right? Like, whatever. Alcohol is just a part of our culture, and that's why we're here, right? Like, it's just a part. I had this conversation with somebody the other night at this event, and I said in my speech, I started going down the very long rabbit hole of not drinking, but that wasn't really what my speech is about, so I had to rein myself in. But I basically just said, Mox and Cox is out there to stop making it weird to drink or not to drink. Like, it's none of your fucking business why I'm not drinking, where I'm not drinking, how I'm not drinking, whatever. And I said, one of the biggest things in my personal toolbox is non-alcoholic beer and non-alcoholic drinks, period. It's just one of my tools. That makes it different, I think, than some of the other, we've talked about this, like, it makes it different than some of the other, like, lifestyle choices. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just don't eat sugar anymore, you just don't eat sugar, right? Like, you don't replace it with stevia or what, or if you do replace it, like, I don't know how that comparison really works, except that our social culture is so ingrained with alcohol in it that having a drink in my hand, my personal hand, makes it easier for me to be in social situations.
Right. Because people feel like they have, you know, some sort of explanation owed to them as to why you wouldn't have something in your hand. It's the Jim Gaffigan joke, like it is. Like,
right.
Oh, you don't eat mayonnaise? Why? Did you have a problem? Right. Like, that's
a great joke.
It really is.
It's real true. And it's not enough for me to be walking around with a plastic Pepsi cup of club soda and a lime, mm-hmm. or a bottle of water. It's mm-hmm. not enough for me. I have to feel like I'm part of the crew. If mm-hmm. that makes me some kind of chameleon or whatever, if it makes me something different than what you think I should be doing as a non-drinker, then fine. I don't really care about your opinion of it. It just makes it easier for me. So
I think it makes it easier for everybody so that it has a less weird experience for people.
And that is just our culture. And I don't think that we have to fight our culture.
No.
Like, it's not something that we're changing. We are not changing the actual culture of celebrating with alcohol. Like, not my monkey.
Right.
Not my circus.
Right. That's not something that we're going to be able to do.
Right.
It may evolve at some point in my lifetime.
It might, maybe in my kids' lifetime, it might, but it's really not a hill I want to die on.
Right.
I don't care to change the entire culture.
We just want to make sure that everybody's included in the culture that exists.
I just
want
to make it not fucking weird.
Right.
Like, it shouldn't have to be that weird. Right. And at this event, they had a mocktail on the menu. They had 3 cocktails and 1 mocktail. Good ratio. I loved it. It was great. And one of the cocktails was in the same exact glass and looked the same exact way as the mocktail. Now, the mocktail was like lemon juice and cranberry and club soda or something. It was fine. Like, there wasn't any, you know, non-alcoholic booze in it. There was no beer or anything like that. But it looked exactly the same. So I looked around at that place last night, and you could not tell who was drinking a mocktail and who wasn't.
That is the best feeling in the world.
It was so cool.
Yep.
Because I was sitting at a table with 2 other people that were drinking, and we had the same exact glass.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knew that I wasn't drinking. Now, also, I'm not trying to hide it. It just didn't make me different.
Right. And that's it.
Like I just don't want to be different.
Right.
And I'm not, again, I don't think people in general are trying to, like, I don't need to fit in necessarily, but it is already hard enough not to drink sometimes. So I just don't want to fight that battle
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's it. That's the end of my soapbox for right now.
Oh, be honest. There's no end to your soapbox.
No end in sight.
There's none ends to soapboxing.
So, speaking of segue, we're going going to segue into, this came from, I guess, Luke Combs.
What did?
My rant.
Oh. There.
My rant just came from Luke Combs.
I'm sorry. That's one of the things. That digression was so long. I didn't really realize that we were still talking about the song.
It wasn't that long, but it was far enough back there. It was that. Let's bring it back to Luke Combs. It was a cool post.
There's we share it back and forth regularly, but there's a meme that comes up on Instagram all the time. That's like, why is country music all about like beer, trucks, and women in short shorts, and from men, and then songs from country women are all like, I killed my husband, and. And I thought that was funny because it's true. I think that it is kind of cool then to have something else that's outside of that box. That's not your traditional, this is every country song.
Yeah, there's such a population of people out there that still feel like they need to hide this for whatever reason.
Right.
Like, I don't know. It's just a...
It's because drinkers don't have to come out and non-drinkers do.
Yeah.
And anytime that you have to come out as some sort of minority figure, it is uncomfortable.
Yeah. And we just want to make it like not uncomfortable.
No. And every time that somebody is seen.
Yeah.
It's just like a magic feeling that people don't understand. Being seen in this world is.
I think it's getting better. I could see people's faces as like a look of surprise when I said I was sober, or to a group of women, like a big group of young women. It was still a look of shock that I said it out loud, like in public, and was like standing up tall and totally cool about it.
It's like, weird. It's like, did you ask for a tampon too? Because that'll really throw people on publicly.
What?
I mean, that's not to relate them, but every time somebody says something that should be so fucking normal.
Yeah.
Like that's like, why are we still hiding that?
Yeah. Why are we buying Claire Brune and a box of tampons?
Well, why do we have to pretend? Why are we shoving them up our sleeves to go to the bathroom? Like, why?
You still do that? That's
no.
Weird.
No, but you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like things that should be so easy and so normal. It should be okay for people to just say that they don't drink. It should be okay to menstruate freely.
But I think those two things are a little bit different, but I like the effort and the analogy.
I just want things to be
as normal as periods.
I just want normalcy for women across the board.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
And back to Luke Combs and his music.
Yeah. But actually, we're done with Luke Combs.
Oh, are we? Are we? Are we now? Are we segueing?
Segue.
So a few days ago, Chris Kirk won the Honda Classic, which is a PGA event. And he said that it was extremely special, not just because he won his first PGA Tour title in 8 years, but also because of what he has gone through. He took an indefinite break from golf in 2019, citing his struggle with alcoholism and depression. So he tackled those issues. He became sober later that year, and he said that he owes everything he has in his life to sobriety. And we love a comeback kid, right?
Yeah.
We love a comeback kid. He's been on a comeback track the last couple of months in the events that he's been playing.
Do you watch him?
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch all of the golf.
I know, but like when you watch, I don't watch golf, but when you watch golf, do people like watch a particular person, or you're just forced to watch all of them?
You're forced based on what the TV decides you're going to watch. I mean, if you're at the event.
You don't get to choose the guy that you're rooting for?
Choose your own adventure. You get to choose who you're rooting for, but if he sucks, he sucks.
And he doesn't get any
airtime. And the cameras don't care.
So they're choosing who you're rooting for.
Totally. Totally. Unless you're Tiger Woods, you can be in like 67th place and they're still going to have a camera on his face.
Oh, yeah.
So when Chris Kirk was asked about, you know, his big win, he said that he'd come really close to losing everything that he cared about. And it's been amazing to get back to connecting with all these people. And when he first came back to playing, and he was very open and honest about his struggles. And now it's not necessarily that it's on his mind, because he felt that he had lived that previous life for so long that, you know, he had been lying to himself, lying to his family, lying to, you know, just hiding a lot of things. So the honesty of that process that he had gone through to get better just felt so good. He had nothing to hide anymore. And playing now and living life is just a more natural thing for him. And they had asked him in the press conference, you know, how he's going to celebrate now. And he said he'd drink some Diet Cokes. He said, you know, somebody had asked him, what's it like to do something that's so different and says a lot about what you've gone through in your life? And he said, I don't know. I don't really think about it, to be honest with you. I'm just so excited to celebrate tonight with my friends and obviously wish that my family were here, but I'll get to see them on Wednesday and it'll be a lot of celebrating. I just thank God that alcohol won't be a part of it. Mm. And I thought that was a really cool thing to be able to be open about on a professional stage like that, especially in major events that are all sponsored by a lot of big alcohol, mm-hmm. you know, companies and stuff like that. But for him to have gone through these very real and at times probably very public struggles to come back and be like, you know, I don't even have to think about it anymore.
Yeah.
I just get to be here and play golf.
I think too that it's sort of, it's hard to relate to celebrities or big sports people that go through struggles like that mm-hmm. sometimes when they're not real about it like that is. I think that that's more relatable than most of the things I hear. But you hear people like, oh, well, they went to rehab again, right? Like that. It's not a small thing to go to rehab. So, but I think people like use that as a, like, it's just very nonchalant when you talk about it in the celebrity world. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about it in real life, like rehab is no fucking joke, right? Like people have to go through rehab sometimes 3-4 times to really get mm-hmm. to a place where they're okay saying I'm sober or going out and not having a trigger or whatever it is. I think also we talked about this a little bit and it came up a couple of times the other night when at this event, after I was done speaking, I had a couple of people come up to me and say, like, thank you so much for saying something, like, congratulations on your sobriety. Thank you so much for saying something. I quit drinking 18 months ago because I had cancer. I had another woman come up to me and say, my husband and I don't drink, but it's for athletic reasons. Well, and I was like, first of all, it's none of my business why you don't drink. I didn't say that out loud, but it's not any of my business. But I appreciate them telling me the reason because it sort of gets back to our mission of just because somebody doesn't drink doesn't mean it's a problem. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't. And then we get on, we went down a 2.5-hour rabbit hole the other day.
And I think we'll probably get to it here in just a second. But the reason that I wanted to talk about that particular article and kind of attach it to what you said in your experience is when you have people on these really giant stages, public figures kind of normalizing the not is just so powerful that people like get to see it, mm-hmm. that not everybody, you know, is in the exact same boat, is in the having the exact same, you know, path in terms of using alcohol. And so I get really excited. As somebody who does still participate in that, I'm still just as excited that somebody gets up on a national stage and talks about how they don't do that anymore because that's going to normalize it for somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's just so fucking cool.
But, I mean, the more we talk about it, the less people feel alone.
Right.
I mean,
and it
is really why I just really share it.
Yeah. Just really good examples. You know, the Luke Combs song, just making it more normal for people to celebrate that. The Chris Kirk win, just another reason that, you know, you can see that this can be that path too.
Yeah.
And for all of those people who have 545,000 different reasons on any given day to not have alcohol in them. It is none of our business, but those reasons all exist.
Yeah.
And the world that we currently live in doesn't recognize that.
And where we got to yesterday was a real epiphany. And I really do hesitate to say this out loud because
we don't necessarily have the right answer.
Well, we do.
But we do.
We do.
But we don't necessarily know that.
Yeah. And it's going to come off. I think when I say it, it might come off as ungracious. It's not intended that way at all, but hear me out. Bridget is over there rubbing her hands together like, oh, I can't wait. This might have to get cut. We don't know. We may not censor ourselves either. The conversation came up that when somebody reaches a certain milestone, sober, not drinking, they announce it, they don't announce it, whatever. The first thing that people either say is good for you or congratulations. That is a very polite, nice thing to say.
In fact, I do it. I mean, that's the first thing.
In fact, I do it.
Totally. We do it because she mentioned a celebrity in the conversation that we were having. And this is actually how it started.
It is.
She mentioned a celebrity and said she doesn't drink anymore or she's sober. And I said, oh, good for her. But why?
Like, and then I flipped out.
And then like, why is that good for her? And because that's the patent response, right?
Yeah.
We either say, oh, that's fabulous. Like, that's fabulous or good for you or congratulations. And that's the same thing. If somebody says, hey, I've been a year sober or I've done this or I haven't had a drink in a year and a half, not even necessarily that they were celebrating it, just saying, yeah, I haven't had a drink in 18 months.
I don't drink.
The response is always good for you.
Bad for me.
Bad for me, but good for you. And I think that's kind of where Katie went with it, because at no point in my saying good for you did it ever occur to me that it was bad for me. Because
that's not really where we're going with this.
No, but that's not, and it's not, but that is the implication.
Yeah, right. That it's somehow good. Well, that it somehow is better for that person than it was before. Mm-hmm. And you don't know the reason that somebody quit drinking. And so we literally manifested this girl right out of the sky. So yeah. We're having this conversation and we were like, I mean, we did get to an agreement. Like we were both at an agreement of, geez, maybe good for you isn't the response, because how do we know that person doesn't have cancer? And it's not that great that they can't drink anymore.
Right. What if they wish they could?
But they're having a health reason.
Right. They came up to you and said, I'm so glad that we have, you know, this option for non-alcoholic beer or mocktail, because I don't drink and I haven't had any alcohol in 6 months. And if my first response is, well, good for you. And their response is, yeah, because I've been in chemo for 6 months. That's not the message that we're trying to send.
Well, and the good for you implies that there was a problem.
Right.
And not everybody has a problem, and that's the reason they quit drinking.
Right.
So anyway, I think that these are just like conversations. These are the tough conversations that it's not that I don't think congratulations is the right word. Maybe I don't think it anymore. I will say, and I've said this before, I've been in a bunch of like sober groups and stuff, alcohol-free groups and that sort of thing. And every time somebody announces some sort of milestone, I've always had a very hard time saying congratulations. I don't say it. I don't comment with congratulations are good for you.
What do you comment with? We're taking everybody along on this evolution with us, because we don't know necessarily what the right answer is. We just know that on any given day, there's thousands of different reasons why somebody isn't drinking, and either highlighting the possibility that they don't drink because they had a problem or ignoring the fact that they are drinking for some, or not drinking for some other reason, is not necessarily the place we want to be in.
So we decided
when somebody tells you that they're not drinking, that we just scream, oh, Moxin Cox, because that really covers all the bases. And it sounds exciting. It sounds like we're, you know, tip of the hat to you. Like it really does sound exciting. That's also likely not the right answer, and we don't necessarily know what it is, but we do know that people probably need to be a little more cognizant of, if somebody tells you that they're not drinking or they haven't had a drink in 6 months, perhaps not assuming their reason is going to be the best play.
Or the first assumption is likely that they had a problem. And that is just not true. Mm-hmm. It's never been true.
It's never been true.
It's never been true that somebody that doesn't drink automatically had a problem with alcohol, and that's why they don't drink anymore.
Because I have people in my family that don't drink, haven't drank almost their whole lives, and the reason that they don't drink isn't because they had a problem. It's because their parents had a problem. And they never started drinking because they didn't want to go down a different path. I don't drink doesn't mean that she has a problem. She did it because somebody else had a problem. But we don't get to assume why, like what her reasoning is just based on the fact that she doesn't drink.
And we also don't get to assume, you know, assuming makes an ass out of you and me, right? Like that's the old adage and stays true. We also don't get to assume that there's a problem at all. Like in her parents' life, in her life, in whoever life. Just right. Because you don't drink alcohol does not mean that there's a problem around it.
No.
Period.
There can be literally any reason, and it could just be you don't like it.
The greatest thing that somebody said to me at this event was, my husband and I don't drink for athletic reasons.
I loved that. For athletic reasons.
And I was like, that is the most.
That is incredible.
That is the best line I've ever heard from anybody. Mm-hmm. And my sister is a CrossFit coach and she is in, you know, groups of people that are like, they don't drink for athletic reasons. And I thought to myself, that is like the best response because A, it shuts people up real fucking quick. Like, I'm guessing that she can run circles around you. I don't know. I thought, oh shit, that is amazing. But she also said, people assume that we have a problem.
They
like
do.
If I say we don't drink, my husband and I don't drink, it's people like automatically assume we have a problem. And I just don't love that because it's just not true.
We're never supposed to assume why somebody doesn't want to drink on any given day. And I think that this is no different.
Yeah.
In the same reason that we're, you know, in the same way that you're at a party or an event or a tailgate or anything like that, and somebody has something different in their glass than what you expected, it's none of our business.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't transition to being our business when they tell you they're not drinking.
Yeah.
Either. Like,
right.
They don't like noticing.
Just opening
it,
up the door does not mean you have to walk through.
Right. Well, and if you're going to walk through, do it delicately.
Bring flowers.
Right. Or don't. Please don't. Don't congratulate somebody on something that they don't think is something to celebrate.
I can see that maybe some people might have a question because I think that I have this question and I'm going to put myself in this situation because I've done it. I have announced on social media, on podcasts, in blogs with before and after pictures. I just hit 6 months. I just hit 9 months. I just hit a whole year. I went out and bought myself a ring for an entire year sober. Does that open me up for a congratulations or good for you?
Arguably, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, so like, but I do think...
Am I looking for that by posting it? No, not necessarily. Some people might, for sure.
I think that some people do for that reason. They want the recognition for it. But every conversation that you have at every event is not likely in search of that.
No.
Having been able to achieve that, that's an achievement, right?
Yeah. But it's not a struggle for me anymore.
But it was.
For sure. Yes. I'm not saying it wasn't.
Right.
I would say it's a struggle for most people, like most right. people that want to quit drinking.
Right. So that's an achievement. But there's a difference between people who want to or need to for X number of reasons and other people who don't for this amount of reasons. And because we don't know what anybody's reasoning is, having the same patent response for it is like, it's not a one size fits all.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the response, and I'm not saying that any of this was right or wrong, right? Like this is just a conversation to me. It's just something that came up with us in a conversation and we thought we'd put it out here because, you know, why not?
Because unfortunately the podcast isn't recording every hour that we're on the phone.
Right. We did decide that was maybe probably an idea. But first of all, again, we don't know the right answer to this, right?
To be clear, we are working through this just like everybody else is.
Keep saying good for you. Keep saying congratulations. I don't care. Right. Like you do you. All I'm saying is
good for you is not necessarily bad.
It's a polite Midwest thing to say. It's Midwest
totally.
Nice. Like,
yeah.
Good for you. Like, I want to say something.
Right. Because you're respectful.
Well, I want to say I want to acknowledge it. How do you acknowledge something? Like, maybe some people want good for you.
Maybe they do, but some other people might
that I don't.
But maybe it's not always a congratulations. Perhaps it's like, oh, okay. So what
do you... Oh, Mox and Cox.
Oh, Mox and Cox. But, like, you know, oh, I don't... I haven't had a drink in... Oh, okay. So what are you having tonight? I don't know.
Oh, okay.
When somebody wants to be celebrated.
For me, it's great because I like to call attention to it because I think it helps other people.
Totally.
That's why I like it. It is not a...
But
it may look like I want accolades, and I really do appreciate all the hearts and the likes and the loves and the good for yous and the congratulations. I really do appreciate them. I appreciate the acknowledgement. Absolutely. I also put that out there because I think that there are people out there that want to know they're not alone. What triggered this conversation was we were talking about Betty Buzz.
Yeah.
I said, Blake Lively doesn't drink, and you said good for her. Mm-hmm. And neither one of us had any fucking idea why she didn't drink.
But we also had no fucking clue what good for you meant.
Well, right.
Because
good for you.
Because at the end of the day, and I do think that that is part of the conversation. If I say good for you, what the fuck am I saying? And what?
Like, good for you, bad for me.
Right. Like, because I do think that there is a little bit of that to it, right? Like, if I say good for you every time somebody says, oh, I don't drink anymore, and I say it while I, you know, am downing my third Bacardi diet, like, what am I doing? Like, what am I saying? And what the fuck do I mean?
Right. When you say good for you, does that mean, like, good for you, I could never do that? Good for you, that would never fit in my life?
Like,
good for you.
They're just such loaded
for you.
Yeah, they're just such loaded words.
I mean, I am no different than somebody saying, how are you? And you say, I'm fine. When you're actually not fucking fine. But you're just like, okay, let's just move on.
Living the dream.
Like, let's just move on because I don't want to talk about this.
No, but I don't know that it's that dismissive. Because I think
sometimes I bet it is. Like, good for you. Let's get the fuck out of this conversation.
It could be for plenty of people. But when I said it, I didn't have any of those extra thoughts in my head. I was just
welcome to my life.
I was just like, okay,
welcome to my head. The water's like, warm. Jump in.
I was just like, okay, good for you.
Hey, listen, by the way, hey, I have listen lady, I have never in my entire life had this thought before that conversation ever.
Right.
I have never had that thought, except I was like, how do we know that it was good for her?
Right.
She could be going through chemo.
She could have, you know, we joked that she's pregnant a lot. Right. And so maybe it just like no longer fit in her life because she's pregnant all the time. And so she was like, well, I don't drink then. Why, you know, maybe I don't drink in the interim either.
Yeah, it's just so interesting that people congratulate people for not drinking and also continue to drink.
Right. But
I don't understand it.
Like, I don't understand it in general either. Like, nobody congratulates me when I don't eat sugar.
True.
Like, nobody's like, oh my God, you're 6 months off sugar. Congratulations. But they do often say good for you.
Yes. Because does that somehow imply that sugar is bad? So therefore, it's good if you're off of it. I don't think I had an end point.
I don't think
I was shocked. I was just as shocked as you
when it came up.
When it came up, and yeah. I was like, weird that we would say good for you or good for her, mm-hmm. good for Blake Lively. Also, Blake, if you want to come on, we'd have you.
And we'd love to talk about Betty Buzz. Because we love Betty Buzz.
We do love Betty Buzz.
And that's how it started.
That's how all of this started.
It's all started because we love Betty Buzz. And then we're like, oh my God, good for you. What the fuck does that mean? And just in case you're following along to this absolute fucking chaos, we still don't know.
We don't know. And like, keep saying good for you, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't want to be the person that's like,
yeah, don't.
Katie told me not to say this. I mean, but it is good for me.
But it is good for you.
But it might not be good for everybody. That's it.
I just think that we just thought it was a very interesting conversation. It's a bit of a conundrum. We don't know what the answer is any more than anybody else does, but I think it does spark a really interesting conversation because you have absolutely no idea why somebody isn't drinking And I think that that's part of the problem every single day in all of the situations. We never know why somebody doesn't want to drink that day. It's none of our business, but we also have to figure out as a society how we respond to people.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that they had a problem.
Right.
And not a good for you sort of implies that they had a problem.
100% it implies that they had a problem. Or that they like.
Or 90% it implies that they had a problem. I know that people don't say it for that reason. But it's just the polite thing to say.
Right. But there is something to it, right? If you say good for you, it's either that you had a problem or you recognize whatever sort of chemicals you're putting in your body. You're not like the best.
Right. I just.
And then it just opens it up for like, hey, I'm going to take a quick shot of Jameson, but when I get back here, congratulations. Like, what are we doing? I don't know. Again, yeah. I don't know the answer to that. We just know that there's something weird about it.
Yeah. And maybe this resonates with some people. What I do know is not very many people talk about that.
Nobody does. I mean, I think that's part of the problem is we're trying to make it a more normal conversation in general. And we're trying to make everything less weird. And I think we just keep stumbling.
I think we just made it way more weird when somebody comes around the corner.
We definitely. Like in our mission to stop making it weird, we totally just doubled down on the fucking weird. At best, at least we're making a conversation exist at all. I think the more we talk about it, the better it is in general. Like it shouldn't be a taboo subject. And it is in the world. So at least we have that going for us.
Agreed. I'm not scared.
I mean, so in terms of not making it weird, I think that's how this had also come up because there was a New York Times article in their opinion section that said, I stopped drinking. Why should that affect my social life? Mm-hmm. This person wrote into the New York Times opinion asking a question on how they should handle their social groups. But it said, drinking alcohol gives me horrific migraines. So I stopped entirely. The problem is I used to bond with my friends at fancy cocktail bars and happy hours. I don't make my drinking their problem. And I've told them that I'd still like to go. They know I quit drinking because of migraines, not a substance problem. Still, they often exclude me when they go to the bars or alcohol-centered activities. I feel rejected. Some of them even ask, are your migraines really that bad? And how should I handle this? This came up for us a couple of times in the last couple of weeks because the advice we found to be awful. I mean,
horrific,
like absolutely horrendous advice. Basically, the person who responded from the New York Times is like, this may be tough advice to take, but like, I just hang back and, you know, meet with other people, find new friends. And, you know, if they find a space for you in the future, you know, keep in touch. Try to be open to the new friends that aren't so focused on booze. Well, one, fuck you.
Also, I had this conversation. I still want to go out with my friends.
Right. The advice is horrible. The advice is horrible. The advice is to the non-drinker that they should just like suck it up and find new friends. Whereas, why aren't you trying to find a way to still be inclusive? Why aren't we still able to do the same things in the same places when clearly the tide is turning so that there is access to non-alcoholic options? Like, give advice on how to bring those things up. Give advice on
I'm sorry, you're not drinking. You can only hang out with non-drinking people.
Right.
I mean, hey, are you by the way, there's not that fucking many of us. And by the way, most drinkers that no longer drink are still fucking fun because we were the best partiers. Like, we were always out. We were always up for a party.
And a lot of them are arguably more fun now because they are removing some of the stuff that they were held back by before.
Yeah, that is such terrible advice.
It's terrible advice. But
like, you're no longer included in this group because you don't have alcohol in your glass. Like, really?
And I get it. I get that we have a lot of work to do in changing the conversation to make it
but
less
New York
weird.
Times be better.
But the New York Times ought to be better than that, especially since
In
New York of all places that has so many cocktail bars with non-alcoholic options. They even have pop-up bars. They have one of the biggest non-alcoholic spirit shops in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it is absolutely mind-boggling to me that that was the path.
What is the actual response? Is it long?
I'm happy to read it.
Okay, please do.
So So I read the first, I've read the question, right? That drinking alcohol gives migraines. So what do I do? How do I handle it? They responded, I think you may be underestimating how much we like to see our friends mirror and affirm our choices, whether that's drinking alcohol or live tweeting euphoria. No matter how many times you tell them that you don't mind their drinking, they may see your abstention as a silent form of judgment. I get that being excluded from group activities hurts. You seem to have been clear with your friends, though, about wanting to join them during cocktail hours, so I wouldn't push here. Shoving our way onto guest lists is a way of taking the fun out of parties. And that belittling question about the severity of your migraine suggests that some of your pals don't really respect your choice. This may be tough advice to take, but I'd hang back and meet up with the group when it happens naturally. Arrange to see members with whom you feel close one-on-one. This will keep you in touch. And try to be open to new friends who aren't so focused on booze. Like, I'm offended for him. Her. Them. They. Like, I'm offended for them.
I just, like, that is a terrible piece of advice.
It's terrible. I mean, and I get that we are.
Well, I mean, yes, friends be better, but also
friends,
like.
Friends be better, but there are options to also kind of educate everybody on, it doesn't have to be weird. Like, we can show you that you can have the same great time with the same people at the same activities in the same establishments. So if that is the case, then why are you telling this guy to suck it up and get new friends?
Like, that don't
how,
drink.
Like, how that, that how that is that fucking so, easier?
That aren't so focused on booze?
But like,
also, they're implying that that guy's girl's friends are like a bunch of booze hounds.
Right.
That's probably not true. That's there's probably varying degrees of drinkers in that group.
And they probably just don't know any better. Like
they should follow Mox and Cox.
They should follow
where
Mox
we
and
make
Cox.
All the conversations awkward. In an attempt to stop making it weird, we
have really hit new levels of oddity here. No, but I do think that that's terrible advice because I do think that there is far more space to allow people to grow together than there is to be like, yeah, I would just get new friends, which is every adult's dream, by the way.
Everybody over 30 wants to go out and make new friends.
Every adult has been like just yearning for that experience. It's so fucking easy to do.
Hi, my name's Katie. Would you like to be my friend?
Hi, Katie. Like, no, that's not like, why are you fucking kidding me? Like that's your best piece of advice. You know what? Just go find some new friends.
Oh, and by the way, find some friends that don't drink. Where are you going to find those people?
In America. And you stop drinking without a problem. So like you aren't going to like any of the sober groups for like, you know,
You come on over to Mox and Cox. We'll be your friend.
Jesus Christ. I think we actually are going to find that article posted on some social media and actually respond as Mox and Cox so that if by some miracle this poor person sees it to be like, you're not alone and that advice was fucking terrible
and come on over.
Christ almighty.
Bridget is so offended. She's so mad right now. I love it.
Throw my headphones down. I mean, that's just absolutely horrific advice. You know what makes us better is I've been mad about this for a couple of weeks and it took that long for Katie to finally read the goddamn article. Because I've been,
and by read it, and I mean listen to you read it to me.
I've sent it to her no less than 3 times. And give you the login info.
To go back to our very odd, awkward conversation before, this is a perfect example of this girl decided not to drink anymore because she has migraines. If you say good for you, like
good for you.
Congratulations on your migraines
and losing all your friends.
And having to make friends in your 40s. Good luck.
That's a solid reach around.
Solid.
Solid reach around.
I had so many reach arounds last night.
I believe it.
I did.
I believe it. I'm
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
That was great. That took the awkwardness out of the first 45 minutes.
If they get here.
If
you got all the way to here after the first 45 minutes of, we don't know, you don't know, this is awkward, we're sorry.
And you're a fucking asshole.
So if you're still here, thanks.
If you're still here, you're our people. Everybody's a little bit fired up now.
Oh, everybody is. Everybody
but
is.
But it is a real, that's a real shitty piece of advice.
It's a real shitty
Maybe
piece
we should
advice.
Start an advice column.
So I don't know how we, I don't know how we got here. I don't know how we, I don't know where we go from here. I just know.
I mean,
that
in the big scheme of things, we really don't know how we got here.
No,
like,
I mean,
we don't know how we got
don't,
here.
And this is going to sound like it came out of nowhere too, but this is just how our brains work. I don't know how we got here. I don't know where we go from here. All I know is I have this great hope in the world that stuff just stops being weird in every respect. Make it okay to drink, not drink, do whatever you got to do. You do you, boo, on any platform. If you're a professional athlete, if you're not, if you're a giant newspaper opinion piece, stop making that weird too.
Yeah.
But if you're a famous country star, thanks for not making it weird. Thanks yeah. for including people.
Yeah.
But if you're every bar owner, restaurant owner, event manager, please do your best to stop making it weird, and we will continue to celebrate you guys when you do.
Agreed. Just, there's no simpler way to say it. Just stop fucking making it weird.
Stop making it weird. I mean, that is, it has become like our mission statement.
Yeah.
Like,
we don't want you to stop being weird. Like, you can be weird.
No, you can be weird. Like, you do you, boo. Like, we just want everybody to be able to have whatever experience they need in this world without somebody else making it weird for them. If you're not going to drink today, great. Or not.
If you are, great.
We don't care. Or not. I mean, like, we care.
We actually don't care. Like, I actually really don't care if you drink at all.
Mm-hmm.
I just, for those of us that don't want to drink for an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, forever, we still want to be included.
We still want to be included. Everybody wants to be included. And we want people to not make it weird when you make a decision one way or the other. And so just being a little bit,
Cool.
Just be cool, man.
Just
be fucking cool, man.
What do we got coming up?
We've got so much stuff coming up. We've got another exciting tasting event coming up next week. After that, we have our first in-person mocktail making class / tasting, which we are so excited about. Tickets are on our website if you're local. And after that, we have an even bigger announcement to make, but you're going to have to stay tuned for that one.
Yes, that's going to be dropped early next week. And we've got a virtual event coming up. We haven't solidified the date for that yet, but mm-hmm. our idea is that we're going to send out mocktail boxes to your house, and then you're going to jump on a Zoom with us, and we're going to hang out together and also go through your mocktail box.
Yeah, we're very excited
some mocktails.
About that.
So that's going to be a happiest of hours.
Yeah.
In any case, we've got just so much that we can do to make this cool.
We've got a lot of fun coming up, and we're just as jazzed every day.
Yeah, we are. It's just there's things like that event the other night that just really made me realize that we're talking to way more people than we think we are.
We find that out regularly, and right. it is the coolest feeling every time.
Because mostly we just talk to ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really, really solid echo chamber that we've got going on.
Luckily, we like to listen to ourselves talk. So that's great.
It works out.
I would say that this is probably a different podcast than most.
Given its complete chaos and lack of direction. Hey, yeah. That seems pretty
but
in line with
us. Didn't you have
us.
A name for it the other day? Oh, no. It was the podcast that you were talking about that was called Unplanned.
Yeah.
Oh, there's not like a genre of Unplanned podcast?
No.
Damn it.
We just are.
We are the genre.
You know, and the worst part about this one, like literally, this one we actually did have a plan.
Most of it's going to get cut.
And so, you know, that's what they say about best laid plans.
The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Tis.
It's one of my faves.
We do.
We sure do love you, the guys, though.
We do.
Thanks. And thank you for everybody that gives us some feedback.
We appreciate it.
Good for you and congratulations to us.
Yeah, we accept that.
We accept those.
Graciously.
Graciously. If you care to give us a follow, that would be awesome. You get notifications when our new episodes drop, which are on Tuesdays. We're going to have some new events and that sort of thing. So check out moxandcox.com.
Make sure you're signed up for our email so you can get all the recipes. You got a recipe book on there, our subscription boxes.
A free one.
Free
recipe book.
Our subscription boxes, our retail store, all that jazz. And more importantly, the Blue Light Specials, where we have a list of all of the codes so you no longer have to pay full price ever for any non-alcoholic beverages that we promote.
And then we only promote the ones we like.
That's, yep. Yep. Firm stance on that.
Firm stance.
Real firm stance on that.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.